dancing, and it was a really good thing. A lot of neat speakers were there, and then my wife and I went to the west side of the state, and the weather wasn't very good. We weren't actually able to do much swimming. The water was only 64 degrees. And during that, Andrea did go in. I put one toe in and realized that that was not for me. But we, over there, one of the things I was thinking about when we were gone and driving and walking around and sitting through different things was I wanted to come up with a new Sunday night series, something that we can carry over. That way I'm not scrambling throughout the week. What am I going to talk about? And during the course of hearing these lectures and sermons and speeches, I thought of, wait a second, because I heard this word, it was abomination. And then it got my mind thinking, isn't there only a few things in the Bible that God says is an abomination? And off the top of my head, I always thought, well, it's only three or four. So I decided, well, that'd be a good sermon series for maybe a month. Look at and analyze everything that God calls an abomination. An abomination is something detestable or repulsive. And I came in tonight and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, wait a second, should we really talk about an abomination on Mike and Susie's 50th anniversary? And I kept thinking, can I just make something up and I'll talk about an abomination next week? But this is what I've studied, so I'm sorry. But abomination, it's something detestable or repulsive. And as I was saying, I always thought, I was under the impression that there was only three or four things that God found abominable. And I did a word search, and there was actually a gigantic list. And I walked away from that list thinking, wait a second, God thinks every sin is an abomination. So many times when we start thinking, well, you know, this sin's the worst, and then this sin's second worst, that's just mankind thinking. God says every sin's an abomination. But anyway, to move beyond that, I'm just going to study. We're going to pick a few of these things out and look at them. And they're primarily things that I think we deal with in our culture and our world. Unclean things, God says, is an abomination. Pagan customs, that was very interesting. Pagan customs, he finds an abomination. Idols, cheating, proud looks, he finds that abomination. That kind of hits home to me, I think, sometimes. Lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. We'll be taking one whole Sunday night to actually talk about hands that shed innocent blood and how that's probably, that is happening in our country every day. Justifying the wicked is another thing that is an abomination. It's Proverbs 17:15. It says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. So if you're justifying something that's wicked and evil and awful, that's an abomination. If you are condemning someone who is just and righteous, that's an abomination. So there's this all over the place. One of the other big things that's an abomination, and I knew this one, is homosexuality, same-sex marriage. Leviticus chapter 18, and everybody can turn there and we'll stop there for a second. I don't want to go too fast. Exodus chapter 18. Leviticus. I did have a piece of candy to wake myself up, and I'm still getting a few words wrong. Leviticus 18, it's page 158, if you have the same exact Bible as me. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. It says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It's an abomination, okay? I knew that one was, like I said, I thought there was only three or four. I knew homosexuality was, but I didn't know all of these other things. How about just look over maybe one page? Leviticus 20, verse 13. It says, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Obviously, in those days, murder and death and killing was a very serious thing. But if you put to death homosexuals in that Hebrew day and age, that blood did not count against you because it was an abomination. That was capital punishment. It's far cry than from what happens today. Now we'll look over Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, Deuteronomy. Flip this way, okay? Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23:18, another place. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of the dog to the house of the Lord your God for any vowed offering, for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. I think I might have written down the wrong one because that one doesn't make sense to me. I think it's talking about ritual prostitution of some kind. And he says that's an abomination. I looked at the wrong verse. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. There we go. That's the one I want. I see it. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. It says, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. What do you think that might be referring to? Cross-dressers? But what's the new politically correct word? Transgender. Yeah, you don't tell people whether you're male or female. You dress however you want. And a lot of those folks, I've not been around a lot of them to my knowledge, but a lot of those folks, I would say, are homosexual, okay? That's part of that homosexuality thing, and what does God say about it? It's abomination, okay? It means it's something that's detestable or repulsive. And that's what we're going to focus on for the next few minutes is this homosexuality. And a lot of times when we start talking about something like gay and lesbianism and stuff like that, it sort of raises the tension in the room. If you started talking about that at a workplace, everybody would be like, no, you don't talk about stuff like that, okay? Because you don't want to upset people because people have all kinds of views, don't they? All kinds of opinions and beliefs about homosexuality. Some people fear them. A lot of Baptist church people fear them. Oh no, the scary people. Okay, some people hate them. What, have you ever heard of that? Westboro Baptist Church. Anybody ever hear of that? I wish they didn't even have their name Baptist. They go around protesting at military people's funerals with signs with language that I don't even really want to repeat, okay? Not even as a quote. Others in the gay and lesbian community, they're on the opposite end, and what do? They hate pastors. They hate churches. And they say, you are hurting our civil liberties. And if you gave black people their civil liberties and their freedom, then you ought to give us our freedom, what we want. So it doesn't matter where we go, there's going to be all these different opinions. But then on top of the opinions is what? Reality and truth, okay? The reality is in a group this large, you probably have a family member who is gay or lesbian. I have a family member. Cousin. He's about my mom's age, and him and my mom, when they were younger, spent a lot of time together. And she called me up one day crying because he just got married to his male partner. So it's a tough thing. And it's something where we need to know where we stand biblically speaking, because that's all that really matters, right? Opinions, political correctness, do those things really matter? Or does it matter what God says? Okay, it matters what God says. So I'll ask you to pay attention to what God's word says about the subject, and any thoughts, opinions that you might have, be willing to push those to the side. Let's start off in Genesis 1. You're probably there, close to there anyway. Genesis 1. And Genesis, anybody remember what the word Genesis means? Beginnings, thank you. Very early in the book, God created man. His name was Adam. Okay, Adam. And Adam was going around naming the animals, and he discovered something, right? Where's my partner? Where's my friend? Where's my companion? And God said what? It is not good that man should be alone. I will make someone that's a helper that's suitable for him. So God created a woman. Now, they were also told to be intimate with each other, not only for procreation, but for a romantic relationship. And they were two different genders who became what? One flesh. So that the pattern that God established in the book of Beginnings is a man and a woman being intimate with one another. He establishes marriage. So marriage would be the only proper place for intimacy. And marriage, defined by God in Scripture, would be between a man and a woman. Anything outside of that brings what? Pain, regret, heartache. So God sets boundaries for a reason. To protect us. To protect us. But sadly, people don't want protection, do they? They don't want God telling them what they should or should not do. They want to push God to the side. And Romans chapter 1 actually tells us what it looks like when we push God to the side, when a person pushes God to the side. It's Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 25. Romans 1, 25. This first step is pushing God to the side, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature, which could be yourself, you're a creature, rather than the Creator who is blessed forever, Romans 1, 25. So we push God to the side. We don't want Him protecting us. We don't want to follow His boundaries. And then what happens? What's the natural next step? Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now, some people argue that these verses don't mean what they seem to obviously be saying. You ever heard that argument, Pastor Don? I don't have time to address all the different arguments. We don't have time to get into the Greek and those things, this textual arguments. But suffice it to say, these verses are saying what you think they're saying. They mean what they appear to mean. Acting out in homosexual sin is sin. Now, that's not politically correct, but it's clearly what the Bible says. And to get the Bible to say anything other than that would be this theological dance of some kind. I don't know. But come on, Pastor Josh. If two consenting adults are in love and committed to each other, it doesn't seem fair that you should want to stop it. What's wrong with it? Well, it all comes down to one thing. Who is the authority? Who's the authority in your life? Who are you going to trust? Yourself? Culture? Or your Heavenly Father? Are we going to trust our Heavenly Father that whatever He tells us to do is best? That's the decision we have to make. Okay? And personally, I've decided that even if he asks us to do something that doesn't make sense, I've made the decision that I know that God is smarter than me. So when I disagree with God, I guess we need to default to God's way and realize that he has our best interest in mind. So Scripture, God, must be the guiding force in our lives regardless of our own feelings and regardless of what pop culture says. Okay? Now we have a few minutes left. And I'm going to go quick so that we can go down and party. There's two common objections to Christians standing up and saying homosexuality is a sin. Two common objections. First one is gays. It can't be wrong to be gay because it's genetic. You were born that way. It's like your eye color or your height. Homosexuality isn't a behavior. It's not something that they do. It's something that they are. Anybody think they know when that idea first came about? It was 1993. Time magazine had an article called Born Gay, and it was the report of some finding by some doctors in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal. They all picked this up, and they started pushing this idea, and what became the cultural norm? Remember what I was talking about this morning? If something is said enough, people begin to believe it. What became what was the cultural norm after 1993 Time magazine article? Almost everybody thinks you're born that way. And then other articles came out after that. Well, it was the findings were inconclusive, and they were sort of shuffled off to the side. They were never reported on. In 2004, there was another big article basically saying that previous study, no one can ever be sure, but none of it was ever retracted. So what do people still believe? You're born that way. No. Now, if you want to get on your Google, there's people saying that you are born with the genes of anger. Did you know that? Well, you're predisposed to anger because we found this one gene inside of you, and that's why you're angry and lose your temper all the time. And there's also people that saying the same thing about alcohol, right? You ever heard that? You have this gene of alcoholism, you're predisposed to that. Now, does anyone ever say to an alcoholic, listen, you can't help it, you were born that way. So come on out in the open, let everyone know you're an alcoholic and embrace your alcoholism. Does anybody ever do that? But yet again, we do that with gay and lesbianism, don't we? And it's all the same logic and thinking, so if we carried it over, that would be the same. So the point I'm trying to make is we don't need to be held captive by our genetic predispositions. We're all genetically wired to sin, right? According to scriptures. So we fight sin. We fight it. Every day of our lives, we have to renew our hearts and minds and give ourselves anew to God. So that's one of the common misconceptions or common arguments. Number two is, you have to be tolerant of others. You have to be tolerant. I believe in tolerance, but the correct definition of tolerance. Okay, the correct definition of tolerance, and I looked this up, is respecting other viewpoints on which you disagree with. And we want to do that because we want people to respect our viewpoints, right? We want people to be able to let us come to church and worship God the way we want. And if you look back, the whole idea of separation in church and state, do you know who it was that pushed it? It was Baptists, Rhode Island, Roger Williams. You can look it up. Out of all the 13 colonies, most of them, it was illegal to be anything other than the religion of the state government. Maryland was Catholic, Pennsylvania, Quaker, Massachusetts, Puritan, maybe I'm being a little bit general here, okay? Generally speaking, that was the truth. Rhode Island, Baptist, they said, no, we are tolerant. You can be any kind of religion you want. We don't necessarily agree with your viewpoint, but we want to let you have your viewpoint so that you will let us have our viewpoint, even if we're in the minority someday. Okay? That is what tolerance is, the right definition of tolerance. Now, what is the definition of tolerance that people are pushing today? You must agree with my viewpoint. Isn't that what people are saying today? Well, you're intolerant of gays and lesbians. I don't know. You want me to agree with you? In order to tolerate, you have to disagree. Otherwise, the correct meaning of the word is gone. Do you get what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not explaining myself enough. I think many people are being intolerant of my beliefs about same-sex marriage. But since that's not politically correct, it doesn't matter. So we sort of have them in this circular reasoning argument. And there's a lot more we could say. I just wanted to sort of start this series on abomination and things like that and the different things that God says an abomination. And one of them is same-sex marriage. And it's something that we've addressed in our Constitution and something that we want to continue to stand for and something that's going to continually be forced down our throats. Any questions, comments, disagreements? He was not wrong. God's the creator. Nothing that God does is wrong. That's the definition of God. Because he's God. That's why we can have faith and hope and trust in him. Any other questions or comments? Mark. Mark was saying the culture of the world is united around one thing. They are tolerant of everything except biblical Christianity. Funny you should mention that. An old youth pastor, Pastor Brett Boonsma, that worked here, one of his oldest child at the time was at the elementary, and it was near Christmas time, right before Christmas break. They took pictures home to be colored, and one was like some Muslim symbol for Ramadan, and the other one was a Jewish menorah. And this was homework, history, culture, whatever it was, and Brett asked the teacher, how come there's no baby Jesus, manger scene? Well, we can't have God in schools. Well, wait a second, you just brought, Yahweh into the schools, and you just brought Allah into the schools, but you can't have the Christian God. Yeah, that very good point. Thanks, Mark. One more if you have a question, comment, disagreement. He said most gays are atheists. That's what they've convince themselves of in their minds, because that's the only way they can get away with that type of sin, because they have to write off God. Otherwise, you're going to feel guilty. But in a conversation with my cousin a few years ago, he says he believes in God. And his brother, who's straight, he said, I don't believe in God. He says, well, you shouldn't say that. You know, there is a God. But somehow he's justified all of this in his mind. Somehow God thinks it's okay. And I've had people sit right across from me in my desk in my office. And Tom Walsh was there. Tom said, that's a sin. You think God's okay with that? And the person looked at us right in the face and said, yeah, I think God's okay with it. And that's scary. Valerie. Mm-hmm. Carrie. They've tricked us into using their term. Mm-hmm. And that would be the best word. Well, it can't, biblically speaking. Kate. Uh-huh.
Many of us looking for God, and some people finding him.
Uh-huh.
And that when we categorize us and them, we are demonizing one of our nation.
Uh-huh.
Rather than just saying, you know, say this person who lies.
Yep.
This is an abomination. But we are really caught up with this because perhaps it's a, you know, sexual thing and more often more private.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as the individual. And if I came across as saying they, I guess I'm just trying to address the subject in tonight's venue. And we will actually be addressing a lot of the other subjects, and I may actually say they, but we're just sort of categorizing that particular sin. But yes, we definitely better love that individual. A gay person may run across 10 Christians and only one of them shows them the love of Christ. And the rest of them may hate them, may be fearful of them. They are just people and they need Jesus. They need forgiveness of sin just like you and I. Question. Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're just sinners like all of us. Their sin's just different.
Mm-hmm.
But we should love them, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, I thought I saw one other hand. Jeannie.
The bad thing is, so many of them have made this public. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be that you wouldn't say anything about things like that. They just pushed it down people's throats and made it public. Things that should never.
Yeah. Tina, last one.
I don't think they don't believe in God because mom was at Crestmont, and with her one medication, she had to go to the care of a psychologist to have the medication. And he said to me over and over, well, God is a God of love. There's no way he's going to send anybody to hell. And I said, well, no, God is a God of love, yes, but if you don't believe in him, you haven't accepted your Savior, you're not going to heaven. And he said, well, I'll just, you know,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is something to continue working on in your own studies and pray over and think about and consider how you might react if you run into someone that's involved in this sin. I mean, I often think about what would I run into if I ran into somebody, what would I say if I ran into somebody that was involved in alcoholism? How would I show the love of Jesus to any of these folks? So let's pray, and then we'll head downstairs. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for this night.